I'm Michelle Martin, and this is Tell Me More from NPR News. Just ahead, we'll talk about what was hot and what was not at last night's Grammy Awards. But we start with the economy. Nearly 600,000 workers lost their jobs in January. The jobless rate now stands at 7.6%. No group has gone unscathed by the loss of so many jobs, but some groups are facing more challenges than others. Later in the program, we're going to talk about how people with only a high school diploma are faring. But first, we want to talk about the toll on men. Manufacturing and construction sectors have been hit hard, and that has taken a disproportionate toll on men to the point where women may soon surpass men in the workforce. Here to talk more about this are Heather Boucher. She's a senior economist at the Center for American Progress. She has a special interest in labor markets and social policy and work and family issues. We're also joined by Harry Holzer. He's a professor at the Georgetown Public Policy Institute and a senior fellow at the Urban Institute. He pays special attention to how minority men fare in the workplace. They're both here with me in the studio. Welcome to you both. Thanks for joining us. Now, Harry, of course, the top line, 598,000 jobs were lost in January. That's the single biggest monthly loss in 34 years. That's the top line figure. But it's not even. Were some groups harder hit than others? We just talked about men. What about beyond that?
The groups that almost always get hit harder by a downturn are young workers, minority workers, and less educated workers. They happen to be the most vulnerable people in the labor market. They are the last to be hired during good times and the first to be let go during bad times. And the people that find the most difficulty finding new jobs when their old ones disappear. And that's true in this downturn as well. You know, for the overall labor force, unemployment's gone up by 3 percentage points. But for the young, for minorities and less educated, it's 4, 5, 6 percentage points already. And we're just really at the outset.
Heather, why is it that the unemployment rate for women is lower than that for men?
Well, this recession began with the collapse of the housing bubble, and the sectors that have been hit hardest in terms of unemployment have been sectors that have been related to housing. We've seen a significant share of the jobs lost in construction, where men make up the vast majority of the workers. So moving forward, you know, as the recession has moved forward, we've seen that the bulk of the job losses have been concentrated among industries dominated by men, and men, therefore, have lost most of the jobs thus far. I want to caution us, though, if we don't pass this economic recovery package with significant aid to the states, we are likely to see significant increases in job losses among women because women make up the majority of state and local workers.
In fact, I want to, in his weekly radio address, President Obama talked about this stimulus plan. He said that he also sounded the alarm that you just did. I want to play just a very short clip from what he had to say. Here it is.
From the beginning, this recovery plan has had at its core a simple idea. Let's put Americans to work doing the work America needs done. It will save or create more than 3 million jobs over the next 2 years, all across the country.
But Heather, women's groups have been arguing that the stimulus needs to take into account that the jobs that women traditionally do, in the industries that women are concentrated in, like healthcare and education. It would seem, though, that these latest figures would suggest that that's not the case. What's your take on this?
Well, I think we need to do both. I mean, on the one hand, a big piece of the recovery package that passed in the House is focused on infrastructure. That's going to get men back to work in construction jobs. That's critical because we've seen such massive job losses in those industries. On the other hand, big components of the recovery package, their smart investments, are investments in education and healthcare and, again, aid to the states that keep state and local government workers working. All of those will disproportionately affect women workers and keep them employed. I mean, that's the trick. Women haven't started losing their jobs yet. But this recession is looking to be deeper and more protracted than any in recent memory, and it's likely to happen soon if we don't stop this snowball from going down the hill.
Harry Holzer, what's your take on this, particularly in regard to the groups that you spend a lot of time studying that you say tend to be last hired, first fired, younger workers, minority workers, workers with the least education?
I think they also might not fully benefit from some pieces of, say, the infrastructure spending, you know, I think which will go largely towards workers who already have experience and skills in the construction industry. My goal is always to try to expand the number of workers with those skills, either for those sectors or for other sectors. So to me, the education piece of the stimulus package is important. The job training piece is important. The notion that that's not stimulus, I think, is silly. We're looking for things.
Why is it?
Because when you fund education and job training, you are buying education services on behalf of some folks. That's going to put people directly to work in the schools, in the Head Start centers, in the community colleges, wherever the training is going to occur. So that'll have ripple effects on employment in those places. And then you're also combining some long-term investments with these short-term spending things, just as you are with infrastructure, where you're trying to combine short-term spending with long-term investments in productivity, in physical capital. I also think we can combine short-term spending with long-term productivity and human capital and try to benefit all the disadvantaged groups, both men and women, who need that in the short term and the long term.
If you're just joining us, you're listening to Tell Me More from NPR News. I'm speaking with economists Heather Boucher and Harry Holzer about the high unemployment rate. And the question, and one of the issues before us, is how it is that the number of women in the workforce is now poised to surpass men. Heather, when you realized this, when you looked at this data, were you surprised by this?
I was surprised. Over the past couple of recessions, we've seen an increase in parity in jobs lost. So over the 2001 recession, we had seen that men and women had seen somewhat similar increases, closer than they had in recent decades. So I was surprised as we've seen this on the one hand. Of course, on the other hand, when we understand where this recession started, that it started in the housing sector, which is predominantly male jobs, then of course it makes sense. I think it has been shocking, though, just how deep the job losses have been among men so far. There are fewer men at work in this country today than at any point since we started collecting that data after World War II. So less than 70% of men are actually at work today, and it's lower than it's ever been. And that, to me, is quite shocking.
And it may be too soon to ask this question, but does it matter?
Certainly it matters. It certainly matters for what's going on inside the home. What we're seeing right now is that more and more women are having to support their families because the male breadwinner is now out of work. And so we're hearing a lot of stories of families where you had two earners and he's lost his job and she's now having to support the family. Of course, the typical working wife in a two-earner couple brings home a little over a third of the family's income. So when he loses his job, you've lost almost two-thirds of the family's income. And so families are certainly going to be struggling on that lesser income.
So even in a two-earner household, the 50-50 split is a very unusual fact. If a man loses his job generally in a two-earner household, it's generally two-thirds of the household income. But then again, there are also a lot of families that are already headed by women anyway.
Certainly. And in those households, hopefully we can keep women's jobs so that those single-parent households headed by women will be able to stay employed. But all of this really underscores the need for pay equity to make sure that women's jobs are good jobs, because still they tend to be paid less than men and they're more likely now to be supporting families.
Harry Hilsa, what's your take on this? Do you think that there are potentially long-term social effects to what we're seeing now in the recession?
Well, in fact, I think the recession is exacerbating a long-term trend. This is not just something that started in the recession. We've seen for 30, 35 years a decline in male activity in the labor market, especially less educated men. And less educated men have been the ones who have been most hard hit by all the structural changes in the economy, the disappearance of good-paying blue-collar jobs in manufacturing and in many other sectors as well. And as those jobs have disappeared, men at the bottom end of the labor market have gradually withdrawn from the labor market and also withdrawn from a lot of their family responsibilities. You know, that's part of why marriage rates have crumbled in low-income communities and men have become more marginalized. You know, in the African-American community, we see that in the enormous incarceration numbers, which are very troubling. But you see it more broadly than that, not quite as dramatically in the other white and Latino communities, but you still see smaller versions of the same thing.
What I hear you saying is that something that sociologists and economists have talked about in the African-American community is now spreading to other groups, particularly whites.
It's much more dramatic in the African-American community, and the incarceration piece jumps out at you much more. But you see milder versions of that, the difficulties that less educated men have in all those groups, and some tendency to withdraw from the labor market or to exist in that labor market much more marginally.
Some of the conversation that we've had in Washington about the stimulus package really does have to do with ideology. Many of the Republicans who object to the package, in addition to the cost, say that this is social engineering, that this isn't really about jobs, it's about social engineering. What's your take on this? I'd like to ask each of you, what's your take on this? Can you really have this conversation without ideology about the best way to that families should be organized, that, you know, that work should be organized?
I think some of this is about ideology, clearly, and when the Republicans have this view that tax cuts can solve any problem that mankind has, especially if they're tilted enough towards the high end, to me, that's their ideology speaking. But the notion here is—
And yours would be now, too, wouldn't it?
Sure. we all have our values, although we try to we try to lessen them with looking also at some analysis and some facts, I think the economics profession has shown that on average, government spending has more short-term stimulus than tax breaks. If you're going to have a major, large, one-time injection of government spending, it makes sense for it to have— some of it have an investment component, and it makes sense to me that that investment should be targeted at the people with the greatest long-term unmet needs. And I think the stimulus bill as written, certainly the one coming out of the House, tried to keep that balance in reasonable.
Heather?
Well, certainly I agree with Harry that the package that came out of the House really did try to get the right balance between getting folks back to work quickly and laying the foundation for long-term economic growth, both in terms of investments in infrastructure, but also investments in the kinds of human capital that we've been talking about in terms of education and job training. I mean, certainly the goal of the package has to be to get folks to work. And I think where ideology seems to come into play is that—
Which folks? Is it which folks?
Well, I think both which folks, but also, I mean, I think I've heard a lot in the discussions around the package that, the Republicans and the conservatives have been pushing policies that we know don't create jobs and certainly don't create jobs at the low end of the labor market. We have a lot of research and analysis that shows that this kind of government spending that passed in the House package really will create jobs and will help low income and unemployed families. So
very briefly, Heather, in the last 20 seconds we have left, if the Congress doesn't succeed in passing a stimulus package, how bad is it going to get?
Well, if they don't get a package passed and a good package passed, we are certainly most likely looking at double-digit unemployment in the not-too-distant future.
And when's the last time we've seen that?
We haven't seen a recession this deep or protracted since the early 1980s.
Heather Boucher is a senior economist at the Center for American Progress. Harry Holzer is a professor at the Georgetown Public Policy Institute and a senior fellow at the Urban Institute. They were both kind enough to join us in our Washington, D.C. studios. That was bracing, but thank you so much for your insights.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Still to come, can you name this tune?